Hello. My name is Sue Houle, and I'm from Beacon ABA Services. My topic today is examining the effects of antecedents and consequences on accurate identification of function of problem behavior. I want to begin with the why behind the study. According to the Providers Council and the University of Massachusetts Public Policy Center, Massachusetts has experienced an exponential increase in the number of vacant positions within the human services field. Providers of early intensive behavioral intervention have been impacted such that many have wait lists for services. Given that we know that EIBI is a powerful intervention capable of producing large gains in IQ and adaptive behavior, to us, every moment a child waits for services is unacceptable. So every newly hired employee is as precious to us as diamonds. My role at Beacon involves employee development, so it's my responsibility to provide effective, evidence-based staff training to bring our newly hired technicians from this to this. How do we do this? Beacon has a comprehensive competency-based orientation. It includes both knowledge and motor skill assessments consistent with and expanding upon task lists and competency checklists distributed by the Behavior Analyst Certification Board. The curriculum is written by a doctoral-level board-certified behavior analyst. It is implemented by board-certified behavior analysts using behavioral skills training. Competencies are assessed both in the classroom and in the field. Completion of this initial phase of training is competency-based rather than time-based. By that I mean that therapists do not work independently with children until they've met minimum competencies to do so. Minimum competencies include repeated demonstration of correct implementation of behavior intervention plans. We work with the very youngest of learners, however, and during any given session, children may exhibit new topographies of problem behavior that haven't been specified in the behavior plan. It's not uncommon for technicians with limited experience in ABA to, in the moment, inaccurately assess the function of these problem behaviors and inadvertently reinforce them. While it's been well established that inaccurate identification of behavior function can lead to detrimental outcomes for the client, what's less often considered is that increases in problem behavior may also result in unsatisfactory work environments and increased staff turnover. In a survey of over 300 peer professionals, Carter and colleagues found that many reported inadequate preparation to respond to challenging behavior, and that improved training practices may have implications for increasing staff retention. So the goal of our training at Beacon is to train technicians not only to implement programs, but also the skills to exercise good clinical judgment when responding to behaviors that interfere with learning. As you can imagine, this is difficult. Problem behavior involves complex interactions among controlling variables. Individual problem behaviors can be maintained by more than one mechanism, such as both positive and negative reinforcement. Also, problem behaviors with very different topographies all may be members of a single response class. Scott and colleagues further describe the complexities involved when training peer professionals to record descriptive assessment data. Relevant antecedents and consequences can take a variety of forms. Events may be subtle and difficult to detect. Consider, for example, the discrimination between delay of task completion versus removal of task demand. And more than one antecedent or consequence can occur simultaneously. Given the complexity of the interactions between behavior and applied environments, it was our hypothesis that newly hired staff with limited training in ABA would have difficulties discriminating between relevant and irrelevant stimuli when hypothesizing function. When determining relevance of stimuli relative to function, at Beacon, we take as facts the following. Antecedent conditions occasion responding. They are when operant responding occurs. They are not, however, why operant responding occurs. Topographies of behavior are selected by their consequences. The particular response that is selected and continues to occur is a function of consequences alone, and as such, consequences are the relevant stimuli in determining function. The goal of our study was to identify whether antecedent information affects accurate identification of escape and attention functions by observers with limited experience in ABA. The participants were 18 employees within their first 90 days of employment. All had a minimum of an associate's degree, but less than 1 year of previous experience implementing the principles of applied behavior analysis. Participants were presented with 16 PowerPoint slides. Each slide had a black background, one embedded video, and a trial number. In all videos, the actions depicted were identical. The antecedent was the presentation of materials, in this case, a shape sorter. The behavior was pushing the materials away. The consequence was either the removal of materials or physical assistance to complete the task. So to be clear, only two videos were used throughout the study. There were 8 presentations with removal of materials and 8 presentations with full physical assistance to complete the task. Subtitles were added as an overlay to the videos. 2 subtitles overlaid onto the antecedent portion of the 3-term contingency suggest escape as a reinforcer by introducing subjective information that the learner was sick or tired or that the task was non-preferred. 2 subtitles implied attention by including statements suggesting that the task was preferred, such as, "Why don't you play with your new shape sorter? You love it so much." For the behavior portion of the contingency, 2 subtitles suggested escape, as with statements such as, "No, I don't want to," or "I don't feel like it." And 2 subtitles implied attention, for example, "Please do it with me," or "Will you please play too?" For the removal of materials consequence, no subtitle was added. For the hand-over-hand assistance, subtitles suggest attention by including statements such as, "I will do it with you," or "It's nice to play together." As you can see, our study greatly limited the number of stimuli presented within each video to minimize the complexity of the environment and therefore better isolate the controlling variables. The data sheet included 16 items in which participants were instructed to select attention or escape as hypothesized function. For a response to be considered correct, the participant must have selected the function based on the consequent stimulus change depicted in the video trial. The research design is a within-participant multi-element design. 2 distinct conditions were alternated to examine their effects on correct identification of function. Condition 1 is the consistent condition. Subtitles here suggest an escape function across both the antecedent and the consequence. This would be considered an EE trial. Here's an example of a consistent attention trial, which would be labeled AA. Condition 2 is inconsistent. Here, subtitles suggest a different function across the antecedent and consequence. In this example, consequent action is physical assistance, and the function is attention. The antecedent subtitle, however, suggests escape by indicating that the learner is tired. This would be an EA trial. Here's an example of an AE trial. So the PowerPoint included 4 trials each of AA, EE, EA, and AE presented randomly for a total of 16 trials. Here were the combined results for all 18 participants. When the antecedent and consequences were consistent, participants were able to correctly identify function in 92 and 89% of opportunities. However, when the antecedents and consequences were inconsistent, accuracy decreased substantially to 25% in the AE trials and 44% in the EA trials. This suggests that the decrement may be due to irrelevant antecedent information provided by the subtitles. Patterns in individual participant responding provide information which may be used to identify the strategies that they use to formulate hypotheses of function. Just to briefly orient you to the graph, in each trial, the response is either correct at 100% or incorrect at 0%. There are no data points in between. Data points representing performance in the consistent condition are represented with blue closed circles. The inconsistent condition is represented with orange open circles. One of the 18 participants hypothesized function correctly in both the consistent and inconsistent conditions. This participant is using relevant consequent stimuli to determine function, regardless of the condition, and this is what we want to see. 7 of the 18 participants' data were differentiated across conditions, as is depicted in this representative graph. When the antecedent and consequence suggest the same function, these participants hypothesize function correctly. When they suggest different functions, however, they hypothesize incorrectly, using antecedent information rather than the consequent stimulus change. 6 of 18 participants were able to correctly hypothesize function in the consistent condition, but in the inconsistent condition, their performance was variable. This suggests that when antecedent and consequent stimuli differ, they're guessing at function. This is interesting. This participant was correct in the consistent condition and initially in the inconsistent condition. However, midway through the assessment, moved from a consequent strategy to an antecedent strategy. So even when the stimulus conditions were simplified to the greatest extent possible, conflicting information resulted in a shift from correct to incorrect responding. The data for 3 participants do not indicate differentiated responding. These data suggest that the participants are using varying stimuli in both conditions. To summarize the graphs, participants can be divided into 4 mutually exclusive categories. 6% hypothesized accurately. Responding was controlled by consequent stimulus changes in all conditions. For 39% of participants, inaccuracies were controlled by the antecedent stimuli. In 33% of participants responding in the inconsistent condition, control varied between antecedent and consequent stimuli. And 22% were highly inaccurate. The source of control is undetermined. These participants were likely guessing under both conditions. When technicians provide reinforcing consequences contingent on problem behavior, it's typically inadvertent and their actions are well-intentioned. Their intention and lack of experience does not diminish the fact, however, that they're responding in a way that is antithetical to desired treatment outcomes and satisfactory work environments. It's a serious matter, but most often the specific cause of the technician's erroneous responding isn't clear. The ability to pinpoint the controlling stimuli that result in technicians making inaccurate decisions about function is essential to effective treatment. Identifying sources of faulty responding is critical if we are to remediate the problem. So although further replication is required, this study has taken the steps necessary in the development of an assessment tool to detect sources of faulty stimulus control in staff performance. This procedure was efficient. The total duration of assessment was approximately 20 minutes, and it can be administered in groups as well as individually. There were some considerations of this study. For example, participants completed the assessment under differing conditions. 6 self-administered at home using the PowerPoint presentation and data collection sheets. 12 participated during regularly scheduled training time. Also, participants were asked to hypothesize function not based upon history of reinforcement, but based on the current trial only. For future directions, while this study has provided a tool to identify the source of errors, the next question to investigate is, how do we change the source of stimulus control in technicians' identification of function? Also, might this assessment be helpful in other applications, such as parent training and support, for example? Thank you so much for your time and attention. Here's the contact information of the authors if you'd like further information about this study.